1 to 4, and this can be found on page 1114 in the Church Bibles. Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native from Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The first reading comes from Romans chapter 16, page 1143 of the Church Bibles. Romans chapter 16, and starting at second half of verse 20. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Cortus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One welcome thing about this sermon series is that when you've got these unusual characters that some of us haven't even heard of, if you look in the concordance, you don't have masses of references, because sometimes the poor people are only mentioned once. One reading speaks for itself, and that's probably one that it did. Anyway, before we have our second reading and before Derek speaks to us, we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing My Jesus, My Saviour, number 519.
My Jesus, my Savior, 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 my second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at the 25th verse. And you'll find this on page 1083. John 14, verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Speak to God.
God, our Father, we praise you for that glorious promise from your Son, Jesus Christ, of the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit as our advocate, our encourager and teacher. Let him be at work as we listen and share together this morning. Amen. As I'm reminded of the bishop who was visiting to preach at a very traditional church where they had all the sung responses. And he climbed into the pulpit and he experienced a similar problem to one we had today with the sound system. He went to the microphone and tapped it, nothing. Did the old blowing down the mic routine, nothing. And finally said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." To which they all responded, "And also with you." I almost expected a response at the beginning of our first reading this morning, where it begins, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." I was waiting for us all to respond, "And also..." No, but... excuse me. Paul is the great apostle of grace. He has a grasp of grace. He understands from his own experience how God's grace is operative. God's freely given, not just his freely given forgiveness, not just his freely given promises of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but his freely given resources to equip us for every circumstance. And I'm sure that he had taught, when he had had opportunity, to spend time with Erastus. This man we hear about so little, as Sally says, that some of these characters we know so little about, we hear so little of them. There are three mentions of Erastus in the Bible, one in Acts, who was almost certainly a different character to the one we're thinking about this morning, who is probably mentioned twice in 2 Timothy and here in Romans. What we know about him, for sure, is that, as Paul tells us in Romans 16, verse 23, Erastus, who is the city's director of public works. And that he had, we know from Timothy, that when Paul had left Corinth, the city of which he was the public works director, actually the King James Version said He was the chamberlain of the city. Sounds altogether more grand, doesn't it? He was clearly a very important, high-ranking civil servant in Corinth, a no small city, of no small importance by any stretch of the imagination. He was a very high-ranking individual, and he stayed in Corinth when Paul left. But he's been with Paul in Rome. And as Paul writes this letter from Corinth to the Romans, he acknowledges him. But that's all we know about him. He was a high-ranking civil servant, and he stayed in Corinth. What do these things tell us about Erastus? Well, he was a civil servant in Nero's Rome. Something which took a great deal of courage. To be a Christian in Nero's Rome was risky. To be a Christian in high public office in Nero's Rome was even more risky. It took courage because it invited scrutiny. It invited opposition from the local religions, from the Jews, and not least, of course, from the emperor himself. It was a precarious position to be. A Christian, high-ranking public servant was something that took a great deal of courage. And people would, no doubt, they would take opportunity to discredit whenever that opportunity arose, to discredit Erastus, to draw attention to whatever shortcomings he might have had, or whatever faults, or whatever, indeed, whatever calumny, whatever lies they could pull up against him. The only other reference is that one in 2 Timothy, where it says that he stayed in Corinth. And I've heard that spoken of on more than one occasion as if it was some kind of rebuke. Erastus is in that passage in 2 Timothy. If you wanted to look it up, it was in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. It simply says, Erastus stayed in Corinth. And I've heard it said that that was a rebuke from Paul. He didn't come with me. He didn't keep me company. He didn't stay by my side. But I don't find that is a necessary allusion at all. I don't think it's necessarily a rebuke. I don't think it's a complaint against him. It's simply stating the fact that Erastus stayed at his post. You know, it might have been easier to leave and go with Paul on his journey to Rome. It might have been easier because he would be free from the same degree of scrutiny as people looking to find fault, looking to pull him apart. It might have been easier to go along with Paul at that point, but he stayed at his post. And I remember when I first answered God's call to be ordained, and I had to ask myself a question: what did I want to go and be ordained because God wanted me to, or did I want to go and be ordained so I could escape life? Well, if anybody thinks they're escaping life by being ordained, can I disabuse you of that at all? Because I was in a job I actually liked. And of course, it wasn't always easy to be a Christian in the work I was doing. There were all sorts of people who mocked my faith. There were people who looked for opportunities to find fault. And to be fair, I gave them plenty of scope. And because perfection had not by that as yet become my way. Of course, it has now. And if you believe that, I'm a better liar than I thought I was. And so it's not. And it's been said to me, why didn't you stay in a normal job and bear witness to Jesus there? And that's a fair question, except that I had this conviction that God wanted me to do it differently. And it's not always been a bed of roses. I'm sure that was the case for Erastus. He thought about going with Paul and then said, no, I've got to stay. God's put me here. My witness is in this place. And that took courage and constancy. And he stayed at his post. He stuck to the job. He maintained his Christian witness in that difficult arena where he had come to faith in Jesus. And as I think about Erastus in his high public office, it makes me think just about those Christians in public office today. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to criticize them. We look at some of our representatives in Parliament, those we know to be Christians, and wonder why they don't give a more vibrant witness in that place. Why don't they speak out more? Why don't they? And I took that to in a previous parish. I spoke to the our MP like that, along those lines. Why don't you stand out more obviously and clearly? And he said, very simple, Derek. If I did that, I would lose the party whip. The party would set me aside, and I'd be out of a place where I would be able to have any influence whatsoever. It's a very, sometimes extremely difficult to bear Christian witness in a place of authority and influence. And yet some of our MPs, some of our representatives in local councils, some Christians in high public office do just that. They make their faith known and gently, sometimes quite forcefully press the points that need to be pressed. It's easy to criticise them. And as we think of those who represent us. But we need to bear in mind as well today, we need to bear in mind today that they are operating in an extremely difficult and often hostile arena. So rather than criticize them, we should pray for them. You know, it's no mistake that God's word says that we should pray for kings and princes and governors. We should pray for those in places of authority and influence. We should pray for those who govern, because they need to be strengthened by God, and by knowing that they have the backing and support of God's church. Of course, we should let them know of our concerns. We should take a pen to paper from time to time. The pen is often mightier than the sword. That we should take the to write to our MPs and representatives from time to time. But not only to tell them about our concerns, certainly not only to complain about them, but also to assure them of our backing, of our support, to encourage them, not just to moan at them. To be a Christian in public life can be an extremely, intensely lonely place. There are times when I'm sure they feel, am I the only one? Am I the only one who feels this way? Am I the last one in Parliament, as they do in Elijah? Is it only me left? God reminded him there were 7,000 others. They need to be reminded when they feel in the loneliness of office that they have the backing of many others. And it's true, of course, of those who hold office in the church as well. To be a leader in God's church can be extremely lonely at times. And perhaps our leaders need to be encouraged as well. It's easy to have a moan about them. I can say that now. I could never say that years ago. Right, so it's good to know that you have the support of your people, that they're praying for you. That doesn't mean at all that we can't hold them to account. We should hold our MPs and our representatives, and indeed our clergy and leaders, to account. But we should do so in the love and tenderness that Paul speaks of in his letters when we take issue with one another. And why else have we been given this, in God's grace, this strange body of people called the church? And we are a strange body, aren't we? Is there any other organisation made up of such a ragtag and bobtail group of people, with so many differing life experiences, with so many different tastes, with so many different backgrounds? Where else would you find them but in the church, held together by a simple love of the same Lord Jesus Christ, and hopefully by the same love for God's people? This is why we've been given the church, because we need one another. We need one another. Paul, in some of his letters, gives a sense of his gratitude. And some of his letters, he gives us these lists of names of people who have ministered to him, who have been with him in his loneliness, who have ministered to his need, have encouraged him and upheld him. And he gives a sense of his gratitude for those people and their company. And sometimes he gives a moving glimpse into his sadness when he hasn't had that support and when he's been let down. But he knew something as well that we all must remember and need to encourage one another with, and need to tell our representatives and remind them of this simple fact, that whatever loneliness we may feel from time to time, We are never alone. In that first gospel reading from John, Jesus says, I will send you the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. You're not alone. I'm sending the Advocate. It says Advocate in my version. And it said, I can't remember what it said in the Pew Bible. But that the word anyway is the Greek word paraclete, which is one of those wonderful catch-all words. It means encourager, teacher, guide, comforter, advocate, the one who speaks in us and for us and through us. He is the one Jesus has put with us to be his presence in and with us at all times. And those who are fighting a difficult battle in Parliament, in public life, in whatever aspect of commerce they're involved in, they need to know that they are not alone. And the evidence for their not aloneness is you and me. Erastus. Oh, look, he mistook me for a flower. And gorgeous. And completely thrown me. Where have I gone now? Yes, Erastus needed to be reminded. The church needed to be reminded of Erastus, of his solid faith, of his indefeatable spirit, of his courage and constancy. And those in office need to know that we appreciate their work and support them. But that's true, isn't it? In the church, how much do we know about one another? How much do we know about the struggles and difficulties each of us are facing? How much do we pray for one another? How encouraged do we feel by one another? That may be a ridiculous question to you. You may feel wonderfully supported. And that's terrific to be given thanks for. But we need to make sure that those who need to know they're not on their own are supported by those people, empowered and encouraged and taught and led by the living Christ in the person of his Holy Spirit, by you and me. Our country needs right now representatives in Parliament and every other aspect of public life, those who will stand firm for Christ and who will do so because they have the support of the people in the pew, the people who will pray and support and be an encouragement to them, as Erastus was to Paul. Shall we pray? Excuse me. God, our Father, we praise you and thank you that although we know so very little about Erastus, he was clearly a man of faith and of courage and consistency. God, may we be such people ourselves. May we there be those who can be relied on to be at our post in prayer for those in public office. May they know our love and support and encouragement and be enabled to bear witness faithfully and to their jobs efficiently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.